Well, good morning. You can say good morning. It's okay. Thank you. Wow. I am on, right? Okay. I can hear myself. So, all right. Just real quick here, just so people are aware, there's no, we're not doing children's church this morning other than nursery. And that's because the youth are going to be sharing this morning, as it's already been pointed out. But we want everybody to hear what they have to say. I've got two things that we want to talk about real quick before we hand it over. First one is last night we had our annual family dinner and business meeting. So I just want to say a couple quick things to that. First off, I want to thank Tom Thompson for the kitchen. I want to thank Dixie Barth for all the decorations and everybody else who came together to make it happen with the food and everything. We passed our budget for 2017. It is posted out there, and there's extra copies if you'd like a copy to see what that looks like. We also affirmed Harvey Longnecker to the deacon board, and we're thankful for that. We also voted, and this is probably the big one to make sure everybody knows what it is and how it works. We voted to create a new building fund. It's a designated line item, if you will. The idea would be that people can contribute to it separately from their regular offering. There are several projects that we are looking at that the church is in need of. The two major ones, though, to just draw attention to. The first one is carpet in here. And if you are familiar with this side over here, and some of you are intimately familiar with this this spot over here, we had a leak. We still sort of have the leak. It's under control at the moment, thanks to Tom Barth has identified where the leak issue is and how we're going to, we have a plan on how we're going to attack it. But that leak caused the carpet to come up over here, and it's beyond the point of repair is really what it is. So we're looking at replacing the carpet in here. And there's a couple of different ideas, but that fund is set up for that, as well as we are in need of more of a storage facility. And so there is there's a few plans in the work of something to the effect of a 36 by 36 storage facility / garage that will go in the back lot here. If you're not aware, over this past year, our van has been vandalized, broken into, and whatnot several times, as well as the shed itself was broken into and some of our equipment was stolen from there. So we're looking at something to be better stewards of storing the things that God has given us. And so that's kind of what that fund is really all about. So as the funds come in, as we get to this point where we can proceed, we'll come together and vote on what our definitive plan will be and move forward with that. But I would ask that as you perhaps consider making contributions to that fund, to always consider this after your regular giving. Don't divide your regular giving here. We're looking to say that we're trusting God that the above and beyond will come so that we can do those things. If you are desiring to contribute, though, do make sure that whatever funds you give for that are labeled. It's easy, just put a memo on it or something that says building, or if you put it in an envelope, make sure that's written on there so that specifically will be designated towards that. So those are the things that happened last night. It was a wonderful time. We had a wonderful meal, and it was a good time. I know there are some people who, when they hear church meeting, wonderful is usually not the word that they usually associate that with. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you weren't here last night, you missed it. You missed it. It was good. And so there it is. Go ahead and go to my slides, because the other thing that we started back on January 1st, and then we talked about it last week as well, but it's our Bible verse, our memory Bible verse. And this is something that we're working on as a church together. It's very simple. It's only two verses. We also have resources in the back, some business card type looking things there. And it does have some church info on one side, but it's got the verse on the other. So you can take it with you. But if you would, please go ahead and read this with me. Some of you, I know this is brand new to you. Some of you, you've got this down. In fact, I'm going to say right now, there is a challenge. I don't know if the adults are aware of this. There is a challenge in the church that the children in children's church, we're not even talking about the teenagers here, right? We're talking about the little ones who they believe they can have this down pat before any adults do. In fact, I know one girl who's is virtually on lock, right? And she's excited to show you this, and we're not going to do it today. It's coming. So if you will, this is Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So read it with me. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. So let's do this. Go ahead and go to the next slide. See if you can do it one more time with me. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in, rooted and built up in, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. I think you're getting it, but let's try one more time. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Be working on this. Be practicing this all week long. Every time, we have 1,000 of these business cards. So you take a stack of them. Put them on your dashboard of your car. Put them on the refrigerator. Put them wherever it is that you, put them on your mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth, you can be staring at that instead of you looking goofy with the toothbrush, right? So lots of different places for that. Okay. In all seriousness now, we're going to transition because I have something else that we need to talk about this morning. This morning is, it's Sanctity of Life Sunday. And what Sanctity of Life Sunday is it's 44 years is what this is. In fact, this March I will be turning 44 years old. And what haunts me every birthday is the thought that my mom and my dad, if they had felt it would have been better, if it would have been a better choice not to have me, they could have legally because of what happened January 22nd, 1973, 44 years ago today, Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade changed everything because what Roe v. Wade did for the United States especially is it redefined things. It redefined exactly who gets choice, and it's not exactly, there's a party involved that doesn't get a choice. In fact, it redefines even the word, what choice even means, to think that there can be a choice after the fact rather than before the fact. 44 years is 58 million babies and counting, and here we are. I'm going to testify to you that I used to think I could pray for the end of abortion, and I had committed several years of my life to praying for the end of abortion, but I've come to the conclusion that this is a futile prayer. Not because God would not have it, but because I think I was approaching it poorly. See, there will be an end to it, but I have reserved myself to understanding that it won't be on this earth as we know it. Because there will be another time and another place where tears will be wiped away. But the question is, what about now? And do we simply just turn a blind eye to the evil? I find it interesting that there are these moments, we have these little small celebratory moments where we might celebrate the closing of one of North America's largest providers of abortions. We rejoice in the fact that that particular facility is no longer in play. But I also recognize that it hasn't slowed or changed anything. It hasn't done anything. In fact, if anything, it causes the opposition to have more resolve. Now when we look at our numbers, I say 58 million babies and counting, our numbers are askew today. Because we used to be able to keep track of the atrocities like so many yellow stars. But now the numbers lie to us. They lie to us because, well, some places don't have to keep an account of it. And not only do they not have to account, but it doesn't even account for things like RU486, the pleasantly titled morning after pill, the abortion in a pill, and it's dispensed without a doctor today. And in some cases, it's handed out as part of the female freshman orientation packet in colleges. And soon, moving here in Oregon, it will be available to junior high and high schoolers without parents' permission. All thanks to the generosity of the pharmaceutical companies, because after all, the first one's always free. See, that's how they get repeat customers. In fact, I think that's how you get slaves. Sanctity of Life Sunday is a day that we mark the day when life in the womb became secondary to the lifestyle of those who made it out of the womb. But Sanctity of Life is not all about just simply abortion. It's to remember and to understand that in God, all life is sacred. We can look at the scriptures, and I will read scriptures that should be familiar to many. We could go to Jeremiah, Before I formed you, this is God speaking, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before, we could go to Isaiah. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. We can go to the Psalms. For you form, this is speaking towards God, for you form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in a secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. For your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me. We talk about as we have received Christ, we have received these days. When as yet there were none of them. Do you know and do people know that they are who God made them to be, exactly who they are? I don't think that we believe that anymore. You are who God made you to be. The enemy wants you to believe something else, that you are something else, and you are not who you were made to be, that God did not know you in the inward parts. He did not know you in your mother's womb. He had nothing to do with you, and if anything, you were perhaps a mistake. And that says that God makes mistakes. It's a lie. Or we now identify the baby as something else. We call it anything but a baby. And at worst, we call it a mistake. At no stage of life is life ever not precious, not sacred, not known, not His. From the exiting of this life to those yet to enter it. From our friends, family, and neighbors, and yes, even to our enemies. All human life is sacred. I'm going to say it again. All human life is sacred. God's word, by the way, gives us warning. He gives us warning as to what it is to take that life. And I want you to consider the context of what I'm about to read from Genesis. Understand when these words were given and what just transpired. It's the flood. You want to ask me the severity of God? And has God changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament? The only thing that's changed is we have received mercy in Christ. Genesis 9, starting in verse 5. And for your lifeblood, this is God speaking, I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of a man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in His own image. I stop and I think about that. To be made in His image, how is it that we can discard so easily what He has made? And I will say this bloodshed for man, it's exactly what transpired at the cross, is it not? That our crime, our bloodshed, our sin, this reckoning to be had was had at the cross, but it was not our blood that was spilt, even though it was our blood that was demanded. It was that of Jesus. He stood in the place of our death. He stands in the place for all who need repentance. Repentance can happen. And by the way, do you understand this goes along with forgiveness can happen. Healing can happen. Don't give in to the lie of the enemy, but rather give in to the promises of God. And that has become my prayer. Not that abortion would just simply end. Abortion is an end to a means. It's a result of a symptom. It's the answer given to the world for their idea of what the problem is. But the answer to the problem is not these things, it's Jesus. I know that sounds really hokey and cheesy and religious, because it's true. If we aren't pointing life to the life giver, the life sustainer, the life creator, then if we are not pointing people in that direction, all we are doing is sentencing people to die. We are part of the solution that the world has given instead. See, we have different answers to the very same questions. There's this old pulpit story of a pastor who comes across a small boy tossing starfish into the ocean that have washed ashore. Perhaps you've heard this story. And at first, the man just simply thinks this boy is just being what boys do. I mean, he's just tossing starfish. And he goes up and he asks him, what exactly is it you're doing here? And the boy says, I'm trying to save them from dying. See, I'm trying to get them back to safety. Seeing the futile effort of the starfish, because he looks down the beach and it's just miles of starfish that have washed up on the shore. Do you really think you can make a difference? You can't save them all, the pastor says to the small boy. But the boy holds up one starfish. He says, but it'll make a difference to this one. We can't stop because we can't do it all. There's still one more. We have a partner in this, in the Pregnancy Alternative Center in Lebanon. Debbie Tracy has shared with us, we have new tools to help women find the answers that we're talking about here, that lead them to the answers. But first, we need to take care of them. We need to take care of them so they can receive these answers. We have an incredible stationary resource that is in Lebanon, soon one on wheels that will be here in Sio. And I want you to understand that there are ways that you can be involved in this. In fact, there are ways that you can be involved in the Pregnancy Center. And here we are at Sanctity of Life Sunday, and there's a challenge that goes out with them. There are, in the back, there will be baby bottles that are available. And these baby bottles are not to be feeding babies with, but rather to be fed by you. In that the challenge is between now and Sunday, February 12th, that you would simply, at the end of the day, perhaps take the empty change, the extra change that's in your pocket, and just throw that into that bottle. And on February 12th, we will bring the bottles back here. You will bring them as an offering, as a sacrifice to this ministry of helping women, reaching babies. There's other ways that you can be involved. Diapers, blankets, clothes, car seats. These are all different items that the ladies and the families that come into the Pregnancy Center that finally decide maybe they can help me, because I'm going to tell you right now, they can go to Planned Parenthood all day long and they won't be needing diapers, blankets, clothes, and car seats when they leave it. But these girls who are coming into the Pregnancy Center, they need these things. And the Pregnancy Center does everything they can, not only to equip them and how to do things, but with the things that they need to do. Because here's the biggest reason why abortion becomes the number one option. The person says, I can't afford this. This is an opportunity for us to help them. So the next time you're at the store and you see some diapers, pick up a package. You can volunteer time. There's always different opportunities in different ways. They need anything from the high-end counseling and nurses who can work the vehicle and all of these different particular areas where that can happen, all the way down to somebody who can simply say, you know what, I can come in on Tuesday night and sweep up the floors after everything's all done. And of course, you can be praying. And you need to be praying. We're not praying that abortion just ends. We're praying that people understand what life is. We're praying that people will come to know who life is, because Jesus says, I am the life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Father, I thank you so much for the gift of life. Father, as a father myself, I thank you for the gift of my four children. And I can't even contemplate life without. Father, I want to see abortion be obsolete. That every pregnant woman would recognize what is happening and the life that is within and the gift that it is. Father, I would pray that there would simply just not be the need. But until that day, Lord, may we point people to who you are and what it is that you're doing. We thank you. We give you the praise. Amen. This morning, we're going to be hearing from the youth. And I have to say this. I mean, this was not the plan. When I say the plan, it wasn't my plan, wasn't their plan. They were also supposed to have done this last week, but because of the whole ice thing, everything got shifted. And we thought, man, this is going to just mess everything up. And then all of a sudden, I woke up one day and said, wait a minute, they're going to be speaking on Sanctity of Life Sunday. How more appropriate is that? I mean, quite frankly, what you're about to hear is a generation that was not dismissed. I find it highly appropriate. I find it highly appropriate timing. I'm going to ask Beth to come up, and Beth's going to lead us off with bringing the youth up and what happened at Winter Youth, the event that you guys were responsible for sending them to.
All right, can you guys hear me? Awesome. Okay, let me get my notes open here. So I just wanted to introduce, first of all, the youth that went to Winter Youth and talk a little bit about what we did there so that when they come up here and start telling you their stories, you sort of have a visual reference of what they did. So first of all, the youth that went, we had Aaron, Kevin, Hero, Mick, Logan, Wednesday, Elizabeth, and Ashley. So they're all sitting up front here, if you can't see them from where you are. I want, if you are a senior, raise your hand so they can see how many seniors went. There we go. And go ahead and put them down. And if this was your first time at Winter Youth, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, so we had two that were new this year. So you guys get kind of an idea of the demographic that we had. So you can go to the next slide there. There we go. So we had essentially 3 days at Winter Youth. The first day, when we got there after we unpacked our things, we had our first session. The main speaker was Dan Jester, and I stole his photo off of Facebook there, so I'm hoping he's okay with that. That's a picture of us and sort of what we looked like when we sat and listened to the sessions. So Dan, the main speaker, he works at Lakeside Bible Camp in Washington. He's an experienced youth leader, and he's also a traveling evangelist. And so he talked about many of those stories during his session. The first session was titled, Where Am I Regarding the Gospel? And some things he discussed were what the gospel is, as well as what the gospel isn't. And after we had the session, we got to come together and have a group reflection. We did that after every session where our youth group in particular went back to our rooms and reflected on it, talked about it, discussed what we had learned. After session one, you can go ahead and change the slide. We had our traditional dinner at Sparky's. So for any of you who have gone in the past or know, we like pizza, and that's what we did. Okay, next slide. And then we came back for session two. And session two was, where am I regarding my walk? We discussed 1 Corinthians 15, which gave an argument for the truth of the gospel through authority, evidence, and logic. And then, of course, we came back and had a reflection about that. And then the next slide, in the evening, we got to do something called marshmallow archery, which isn't real marshmallows. They're actually really hard, and Mick can attest to that. So they did have some facial protection, but I believe there were some injuries. It was fun, though. And after we did that, we went to midnight praise, maybe went to bed, and then woke up for the next day. The first thing we did in the morning was have our alone time, and they had a study for us called 33 Things That Happen at the Moment of Salvation. I know that's very tiny print for you, but I wanted to put it on one slide. The youth were asked to go through these different topics. They had a nice little book here that guided them through it with some passages to reflect on. I'm guessing most of you got through maybe 4 or 5 on the first day, and probably not even all 33 by the time we were done with the week. All right, next. And then after our alone time, we went to the third session, which is, where am I regarding my identity? And during that time, we talked about something called four-chair discipling. I believe you'll be hearing more about that from one of our youth. And it gave the youth a chance to sort of determine where they are on their walk in Christ. And then next, we had lunch from these great food carts. If you've ever been to Portland, they've got wonderful food carts that you can get food from. They brought a couple to us, one called the Dump Truck with dumplings, and one that had Peruvian chicken. So those were some interesting choices for some of the youth here. And the mission they gave us during that time at lunch, which I'm proud of all the girls, I don't know how the guys did on this, but we were supposed to go out and talk to people we didn't know. And I know that's tough for some of the introverts we have in our group, and I think they did a great job. All right, next. This was probably at least the most meaningful part for me is when we broke out into workshops. The youth got to decide which workshops they were going to, so you may be hearing from them about which one they attended. And we got to go to 3 different ones. Unless you were at the family band, then you only got to go to 2 because they took up some time. Let's see. I went to the opening closed friends one, the quiet time breakdown, and then we were all required to go to Dan Jester's one, which was on purpose for a purpose. So we were all there together. All right, next. That evening, we did something called Night Strike with Bridgetown Ministries. They work with homeless people in Portland, and so I believe one of our youth will be talking about what we did there, but that was definitely an experience for us. Next. And then we did Broom Ball at the Lloyd Center. So they opened up the Lloyd Center to us after it was closed. We all got to run around on ice and fall and make just fools of ourselves, which was so much fun. And then we had Midnight Praise that night. And the next slide. Again, we did alone time on our last day in the morning. Got to go through some more of those things. And the next one. And then we had our last session, which is Where Am I Regarding His Call? So the youth were left pondering where they're being called, what they're being called to. After we had that time to reflect on that, go ahead to the next one. We had our family band. I got a picture of Wednesday up there. So some of our youth got to participate in the band and lead in worship, which was great. And then we headed home. So the last slide there. So what I wanted to talk about my favorite part real quick. So my favorite part was building a stronger relationship with the girls. I got to do that especially after Midnight Praise, and we decided to talk for a long time. So I do have to say that they're all seniors, so it's going to be tough for me next year getting a bunch of new freshmen in with no other grades there. So, but I wanted to thank the girls for coming and making that a good experience for me as well. And what I learned is that these youth, not just the girls, all of them, are capable of some pretty amazing things, and God's calling them to do some great things and to do His will, and He's equipping them for His purpose, and it's just been incredible to watch, and especially to see them grow over this time at Winter Youth. And again, I just wanted to thank you for all of those who donated to helping them go. It was a great experience for them. I'm sure you'll hear as they come up. And so thank you for giving them that opportunity. All right, I believe Elizabeth is first up.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth. And this morning, I wanted to share with you what I learned at one of the workshops I went to. It was the Quiet Time Breakdown with Gretchen Jester, the wife of our main speaker, leading it. In this workshop, Gretchen talked about how it's important to read your Bible daily, but also how it's often hard knowing what to read and where to start. The first thing Gretchen said we need to do is pray out loud. Talk to God out loud before you do your devotions, and ask Him to help you understand and get something out of what you read. Then start reading, and read until something hits you. When that something hits you, focus on it. Research it, pray about it, talk to others about it. Do all that until you understand it, and then move on. Read some more until something else hits you. If you don't know what to read, pray about it. Ask God what He wants you to read. He will let you know one way or another. If you've prayed and you still aren't sure, Gretchen gave 4 C's to use as guides for when you read: comfort, counsel, correction, and Christ. If you're looking at your Bible and have no idea what to read or look for, you can use one or several of these 4 C's to help you. Find verses that talk specifically about the C of your choice. If you're looking for comfort, Psalms is a pretty good place to start. If you're looking for correction, James is a really great book. Just be prepared that James doesn't sugarcoat anything, so watch out for a potential smack to the back of the head. After you've read and done your devotions for the day, pray again. Praise and thank God for anything that popped out at you while you were reading, or just showing you what to read and study. And again, do this out loud. God is your friend and Father. So it's okay for you to talk to Him. He loves it. Also talk to your other friends about what God showed or taught you. Praise God with them, reflect on what you read, and ask them to help you apply what you learned to your everyday life. Get into the habit of doing devotions every day. You may be surprised what you find. Even if you already read the Bible every day and have read it front to back multiple times, there will still be something new for you to learn, and or just something you need to hear that day. I know for me personally, Gretchen's message was one that really helped me get into a habit of praying and getting into the Word every day. And since my Sunday school class assigns homework every week, that has also really helped me read the Bible every day, as well as encourage others to read and get encouraged myself. Finally, I would like to thank you all for helping us go to Winter Youth this year. It really meant a lot to us to be able to go and know that we were supported by our church. This was the last year for several of us to go as students since we are seniors. So I'm really thankful that we were provided the opportunity to go for our last year. Thank you all very much.
Hi, my name is Logan LeVake, and Winter Youth was very inspirational to me, and it was an amazing first experience because I didn't go last year. And what really got to me was one speech from Dan Jester, the main speaker. He was talking about starting to be Christian and saying, like, now what? What are we waiting for? And I've seen many people in my life who have said that exact question. Dan Jester said not to give up on God and to stay with him. This affected me when I first heard it, and has helped me to connect more with God. It was hard to believe in God after my dad's passing in November, and going to Winter Youth Conference helped me lean more on God and helped me keep believing in him, even after terrible moments like that. I prayed more when I was at the conference and helped me still believe in him and to serve him more. A scripture that I saw that relates to this is Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The scripture to me explains that if we do not give up, something wonderful will happen, and if we keep serving God. The ways that I serve God is by praying and trying to lead people into Christianity who have stopped believing in him due to bad experiences. I tell them my testimony and how I had almost not believed in God until I started going back to church in the youth group because some of my friends invited me to it, and it's really changed my life a lot. Another scripture that relates to this, to believing in God and to stay with him, is Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, which is said 365 times in the Bible, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Because of this, I know God will always be with me, and I should trust him. This will affect my life from now on. Because I remember no matter what happens, God will be by my side throughout tough obstacles. At Winter Youth, the workshops I went to were very inspirational, as some of the speakers had very bad life experiences and still believe and trust in God. This helped me lean more on God and strengthen my bond with Christ. The workshops were meant to help us understand more about God and the gospel. I think the best part about Winter Youth was being with my youth group and talking about the sessions and what the message was. We explained what everyone thought of the session and what they really liked about it. And I think that helped us strengthen our bond as a youth group, especially together for communion, as we all went up there together. It made me feel more connected to the youth group. Thank you for helping us fundraise for this amazing trip, and I can't wait to go next year. It was a really awesome experience with my youth group, and it's going to be sad to see some of the people go, such as Hero and Aaron and all the other seniors, because we had a really fun time. So thank you, everyone, for helping us fundraise. To go. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Aaron, and I wanted to start out by thanking the church for letting us go this year for my last year, too. I've gone the past 4 years. Every year is terrific, and it's full of knowledge that we share together and that we learn together. And there's nothing like coming together with all your friends and learning about God and wanting to learn more and more each or both those days. And then you get together and you share what God has done in your life and how you all can contribute to sharing. At Winter Youth, like Beth talked about, was in the booklet, the 33 things to read about. And one was blessed with the earnest first fruits of the Spirit. That got to me because there's a farm called First Fruits Farm in North Carolina, and I'm sure you guys know, some of you know the farm or the farmer, Jason Brown, who was a professional NFL player. He played for 7 years in the NFL, and God called him to quit the NFL and grow the farm. He had no idea what a farm was, or he just knew it was growing fruit or food, and he got called by God to give to his people. So he quit the NFL and got a farm. His motto was over the years was never stop giving, never stop loving, and never stop growing. And he always said to never hear, but listen and understand. Listening gets you farther, and understanding will get you further than that. You always want to listen there we had some verses there in the alone time. John 3:6, if you can look it up, or if you want to read along. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, which has to do with natural birth and is illustrated as stated. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then there's Romans 8:23. And not only they, the creation, but ourselves also, refers to the believers, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And that's what made me think of the farm and how he gives the first fruits of his farm every season to charity and to food banks for the glory of God. And that's what he believes in. And he does this every year. Even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's the rest of the verse. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit alone does this, are we all baptized into the body. At salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes the believing sinner into the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, all must come in the same manner by and through Jesus Christ and what he did for us as at the cross, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So in my high school career, the past 2 years, I have gone to a convention called National FFA Convention. Both those conventions had a preacher preach the first year I went, and this year it was Jason Brown, the farmer. Both are full of wisdom and knowledge. I encourage you to look them up on YouTube. They're on YouTube, and they're really knowledgeable. And this year, both years, I have made connections from National FFA Convention to Winter Youth, because they talk about the same thing. And, but that's way too much to talk about in this. So, but Jason Brown, he was a star football player in his teenage years as the center. And his brother was 7 years older than him, and he encouraged his brother to do his best, go his full potential. When Jason Brown was 20 years old, he got a call from, or he got a message from the military. His brother had died in Afghanistan, his older brother. And his older brother was 27 at that time. And Jason went to football and played in the NFL for 7 years since then. He got to 27 years old, and that finally hit him when his brother had died when he was 27. And he wanted to do something with his life. And so he prayed. Prayed and prayed and prayed, and then God told him to give to his people. Jason Brown didn't know what he meant, and so he kept praying, asking him for a clearer hint. And he told him to become a farmer and grow fruits. So Jason Brown, he got an offer from three of his favorite teams. He played for the Ravens and he played for the Rams. But his three most favorite NFL teams, he got an offer from that he couldn't resist. And he resisted it to go grow food for the glory of God, to donate to food banks and people in need and hungry. Now he's actually getting volunteers to come out and grow or and help harvest the food. And that's why he calls his farm First Fruits Farm, because it's for the glory of God that he grows the food for the people. And I found that as an inspiration, and when I came across that part of the booklet, that just popped into my head from Jason Brown, and he's doing great too. But that kind of put in my head that we all need to get out of our comfort zone. Like he, doing the NFL, getting good at it and one of the best players in the NFL, gets out of the NFL, and then he's a farmer now, and he knew nothing about farming. So that's what I've learned at Winter Youth, and I continue to grow in that knowledge and wisdom. I hope I can encourage a bunch of other people like Jason Brown has, like he has me. And that's all I have to say. And Mick is up next. And thank you for letting me go this year, for sending me. It's my last year, and I'm really grateful for it.
Hello, can you guys hear me? All right. So my name's Mick Sprague. You might know me. My dad's a pastor. Yes, Kevin, he is. I'd like to tell everyone here, thanks for helping send us all here today, or sending us all up there to and eventually come down and speak. I'd also like to say thanks to everyone who came, especially the seniors, since this is their last year. Especially like to say thanks to a hero who just waved at me, considering he came from Japan and got to join us. That was fun. And today I'm going to be talking about one of the workshops, specifically the one that the speaker Dan Jester did, On Purpose for a Purpose. And what the main thing for him was it was all about kind of forming your testimony, how to present it. Oh, one last thing, since Beth brought it up. Yes, those arrows are hard. I got shot on the top of the head by Dustin. You can talk to him about how that happened. And so the first point I want to make, and this is kind of the first point that he made, and it was kind of a big point that he would bring up a couple times. Your testimony doesn't have to be extremely crazy to be a good one. Like some people, you know, they come out with stuff like drugs and all that for it. You know, that may seem like, oh man, that's impressive. I'm just a pastor's kid. I've known him all my life, known Jesus all my life. That doesn't matter. It doesn't mean your testimony is going to be bad. It will always be good. So, you know, and like I said, you know, my testimony, I'm just a pastor's kid. I've known him pretty much my entire life. Compared to some people there who they talked about how, you know, before they were the kids who were always doing all the bad stuff, you know, pulling all the bad stunts that people make fun of on TV during shows and stuff. So, but the beginning of the testimony is before you find the Holy Spirit or Jesus, you know, before meeting him, you know, what was with your life, you know? Mine was, like I said, pastor's kid. So here, for example, in the Bible, I'm going to use Paul, or back then, Saul. You know, back then, he was an over-righteous, I don't know, would zealot be the right word then? Would that be a good word to use? Zealot for Saul? Yeah, Pharisee. But he was crazy about stuff in the Old Testament that was said, you know, the law and all that. To the point that when Christianity started coming around, he would persecute those who follow Jesus. So before meeting the Holy Spirit, he was kind of a bad dude. So you're, the next step to your testimony is when you met the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Okay. Are you just fixing the microphone for me? Anyways, the next part is meeting the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And, like, for me, it was when I was young, you know, like 3 or 4, you know, kind of started to understand what was being said. And, so for there, it was, you know, I just simply knew him. There wasn't much to it. But see, I'm going to use Paul again for this. I'll use him a couple times. See, he met him on a road to Damascus, on the way there. He was blinded, had a little conversation, eventually went down to meet someone in Damascus. And eventually it's, you know, we get Paul, which for the end of your testimony, you kind of go after meeting him, you know, what you've done. So here for me, it's kind of just, it's been my life, you know, afterward, you know, helping people out. Anyone has questions, I'll answer them. See, but, you know, and Paul, you know, he traveled all over Asia and Europe, teaching people, helping with churches, you know. We're going over stuff that he's done in church. See here, that's kind of how it works, is your testimony should really be before meeting the Holy Spirit, when you meet the Holy Spirit, and after the Holy Spirit. And some examples of some of the testimonies in the Bible, you can go to Acts 7, which was Stephen's address before he died. Good amount there. A couple others, if you haven't want to know any more, I have a couple on me right now. But another one is Acts 2. That was Peter at the Pentecost. He talked to the crowds there after meeting after the Holy Spirit came to them. Just tons of those in there. Once again, I'd like to tell everyone, thanks for sending us. Thanks to the seniors. And I'd like to say thanks. Hope I could get to go next year and be up here again. Also like to say thanks to my dad for letting us do this for it. It was kind of a big thing to do for him. Thanks.
Yeah, it's not going to work. So, for those of you who don't know, my name is Ashley Williams. This winter youth was my fourth year in a row, and as a senior in high school, it was probably my last. This year's main theme was testimony, not just finding yours, but what testimony is and how we're best served to share. Our main speaker this year was a man named Dan Jester. He shared a lot of information, and it was a lot to take in a really short amount of time because he talked really fast. He was just one of those people, and I'm not, so I'm not even going to try to fit all that into the short amount of time that we have. But what really stuck with me this year was a message from the first workshop I went to. The main theme of this particular workshop was stopping to listen to people. Oftentimes, if not always, people are passionate about specific things for a reason. And more often than not, if you stop to listen, they will tell you so many things. What they have to say isn't always something pleasant, but it's worth the listen. And don't be afraid to tell them you're sorry that they were treated a specific way by a church or group of people, and don't be afraid to ask for forgiveness for another's actions. Because maybe all it takes for them to want to know God is for you to say that you're sorry. Maybe all it takes is for you to ask them for forgiveness. And it might seem incredibly hard or impossibly difficult, but all you have to do is this. Stop, take a few moments out of your day to ask one simple question, why? And then you listen. I know that I've been talking to members of this community for a while now, and it's made things a lot easier for me as a person to, and it's been a big step in me coming and getting to know Jesus Christ and God. And I wanted to thank all of you for giving me the opportunity to be coming to this congregation and to have those people that I feel comfortable to talk with, because it can be hard when you have questions that you can't find the answers to. And I wanted to thank you for the chance to go to Winter Youth these 4 years, because it's been great. There really aren't words to tell you how much I want to thank you for the opportunities that you've given me, because it's something that, where I came from, it's not really a chance that I would have had. So thank you.
We need to give him a raise. So, hello. I'm Kevin. My parents are Scott and Jennifer, and I'm one of their sons, and I'm probably the favorite son, just saying. So, might be hero, I don't know. So, this year up at Winter Youth, it was pretty fun. It's my second year going. I'm planning on going for the next 2 years. It's just been a lot of fun these 2 years, and I really just want to thank you guys for giving us the opportunities, giving us the funds to go up there so we can learn more about God. And so I'm going to be talking about the night strike and the different parts of the night strike. So in the night strike, there were a few different jobs or tasks, kind of, and so one was a prayer walk where you'd split up into group and you just walk a certain route throughout Portland and pray as you're going for like the businesses and the government or anything. And then there was another where you would walk around, but you'd have hot cocoa and you just walk around and give cocoa to people and stuff. And then the they were under the bridge, right? They'd be under the bridge, and they would give, like, the homeless haircuts or give them clothing that they needed, just show them hospitality and stuff, just comfort them and care for them. And, our youth group, we were put into the prayer walk category, and so we split into two groups, so we had two different routes, and so it was me, Aaron, Hero, Elizabeth, and Beth who went, and so we just walked our route. And now, before I talk about what happened on the prayer walk, Dan was speaking about in the session right before the night strike about being brave, about showing that you love God and putting in being brave for God. And that just kind of stuck with me, because that's kind of been what I've been wanting to do, is be brave and like talk to people and step out of my comfort zone, which is what happened during the prayer walk. So during the prayer walk, we walked by several businesses and several people in need praying for them as we went. But as we walked past a restaurant, I think it was called Little Big Burger, if anyone knows where that is, there was a man who had was wrapped in a blanket, like just like you could honestly tell he was freezing to death. It looked like he had a blanket around his face, he was just freezing. And as he walked by, he said, "Happy holidays and have a good night." And that just kind of surprised me. I smiled back and said, "Thank you." But that just surprised me so much. He was freezing, blanket wrapped around his face, trying to stay warm, and he was still kind enough to say, "Happy holidays and have a good night." And I just, the whole rest of the time during the prayer walk, I just didn't forget about him. And I just kept thinking and kept thinking about him. And in my head, I was just saying, "God, I have to go back. I have to talk to him. I have to meet this guy." And so we went along with our prayer walk. And after we completed the route, we were heading back to the meetup point where everyone would like meet up, so we know everyone's here or whatever, so we don't lose anybody. And we were walking on the opposite side of the road past Little Big Burger. And I glanced over, and I was looking for this guy, and I saw him. He was still there, still wrapped in blanket, still freezing. And when I saw him, I just kind of, like, got happy. I was just, like, just had a little jolt of energy in me, just a little excitement. And so we made our way to an intersection, and Beth asked us if we had anything on our hearts that we needed to say or do. And at this point, I kind of felt, I don't know if it was God or the Holy Spirit, but someone was, like, behind me, shoving me, like, telling me, hey, speak up, talk about the guy. And so right as we were about to cross, I just went, can we actually go back this way real quick? And so we turned, and we walked back over to the guy. And we walked over, talked to him, and I just... We talked to the guy, introduced him, told him what we were doing and everything, and after a little bit, I just asked him, "Can we pray for you?" And he said, "Yeah, man, that would be great." So we prayed for him. I prayed that God kept him safe, comforted him, gave him what he needed, and stayed close to him. And after that, we went back to the rest of the group, and I hadn't been happier in a while. I was just so happy, and then I just felt God just patting me on the back, saying, "Good job." And yeah, that was pretty much it. I'm just so glad that God actually had me speak up, because I'm not the kind of person that'll just go up to a person I've never seen before and just talk to them. I'm kind of an introvert, and so I'm just glad that God kept me brave during that time, and that I didn't keep quiet, I didn't pass up the opportunity, and I took advantage, and I was brave.
No, it's okay, I have it. It's okay, yeah, Justin. Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Takahiro. I came from Japan, if you know about Japan. And about this winter youth, we had a lot of fun. I'm really glad of that I can go to the winter youth. And I thank for everyone giving me a chance to go to the winter youth. I'm really nervous now. You can see that my leg is shaking. By the way, and I thank for God that keep us safe. Let us had an awesome 3 days. Okay, so the winter youth was from December 28th to 30th. During the 3 days, we were learning about Bible, about gospel, about God. I'm going to talk about testimony. Is that right? I'm afraid of my English because it's not really good. Of gospel, which impressed me a lot. And I've never thought about testimony to tell about God to other people. That's really, really hard, as you know. I met God when I went to church since I was second grade, and I believe God. I thank for Jesus to back my cross. I admit my sin, but that's all for me. I was like, that's just like I'm doing that because I'm a Christian. I have to behave as a Christian, but I never thought I have to tell about God's story to other people until the youth group. So during the youth group, they talk about testimony. They talk about how to tell about God to other people. How can you tell the gospel? How can you, like, it's really hard. Like, I've never heard anyone like talk about God in high school. That was pretty sad. I know. Hold on. Okay. I want to talk about Japan of Christian. Japan is not really a religious country. They don't really believe God, so it's much harder than America to tell them about God. So why it's so hard to tell story to other people? Because the gospel is not your or my story. It's God's story. Most people are interested in story, fun story, so that you can talk with them and have fun in talking. But the God story is talking about God, and some people hate God. They refuse you when you talk about God. They were like, "What are you talking about?" They don't want you. They don't want to listen to you. So let me tell you how to talk about God with them, how to give them a chance to know about God. So at first, before you talk to them about gospel, you have to be an audience. You have to listen to them. I think that's the most important part. You can't just talk. You have to listen to their story so you can the people love to talk about their story. They love to talk their story because they have emotion on their story, so they will be like happy or sad or angry or whatever they feel, they have feel on their story. So, but even they be angry or they said something, you feel really angry, you can't understand. Don't just talk against them. Don't just like, no, don't, you have to be like this. You can't do this. Don't just like that. You have to listen to them and think and let them talk. And you have to let them know you are interested in their story. Then, during their talking, they will talk about story like they're angry at something or suffering at something. Like really suffering. They were really sad. Then, that's your chance. You can ask them question. And you can talk about God, because when they think, they feel, they really sad, they feel really angry, they want help. So they will stop refuse you. They will stop refusing. So at that time, you can give advice to them, and you can let them to, how about pray, how about ask God? You can ask God for help. Or you can tell your story about God, how God helped you. So let them believe you. That's the reality. So I have a story. In Japan, we have to take test before go to high school. You have to take test to decide which high school do you want to go, and we can choose two: the first, the most school you want to go, and the second most school you want to go. But I failed at my test, and I couldn't go to the school that I most want to go. So I was really, really sad. I was like, God, stop. Don't, God, I thought you will help me. I don't want you ruin my life. I don't want you keep you away from me. So I was really sad, like a week. But after I go to the school, the second school I most want to go, that school is a Christian school, but that's the school give students a lot of chance to go foreign country. That's why I'm here. So I think that's God. I think God gave me chance to come here, to come to Seoul High School and know about God and stand here, talk about God. So, like as I said, I talked about my story. You can talk about your story to your friends, to the people who doesn't believe God, who hates God. And sometimes you can ask them. You can ask them like that. Don't you think that's the plan of the God for you? Even it's really bad. It's a lot of bad thing happened to you, but you can think that's a plan. You don't know future. Only God knows future. You so It's so that's what I want to tell you. And but even I am doing this speech, I am talking about how to tell gospel, how to tell story to other people, to the people who would you refuse you, who don't want to talk to you. Even I'm talking about this, but I'm still resistant to do this, to talk about gospel to other people. I'm afraid. I'm really afraid about their emotion. I can't understand. But I hope anyone will share your gospel to other people. If you can't help yourself, you can pray. Okay, that's it. That's my speech.
Hello. Can you hear me? I hope so. Okay. Hi. I'm Wednesday. I'm the last one's face. It's fine. Apparently it's not fine. This is my last and final year going to Winter Youth. And it seems like just yesterday I was waiting for my chance to go. I was like, yeah, I grew up in the church, so I watched my dad and my mom take their youth groups to Winter Youth, and now I'm like, wait, it's all over. Sort of. But something that really kind of jumped out to me this year was something that Dan had said in, I believe it was our third session, and that was the fourth chair discipling. And it was just something that helped me personally. It helped. And before service started with Kevin doing announcements, we passed out these pieces of paper. And if you didn't get one, we still have extra, and I highly recommend you take this. But it's not a test, but it's basically just kind of like, it's like a placement thing. And it's something that Dan had us all do within our youth groups, just when we all kind of broke up into individual youth groups. This is something all of us had done. And what it is basically, it's something that will kind of place you where you are in your walk with Christ. And it's nothing to be like ashamed of or like, oh, I didn't get, you know, I'm not in the highest chair. That's okay. It's something that it helped me figure out where am I in my walk in Christ. So how this works is basically each chair, there's four different chairs, and each one has about seven kind of statements. And what you do when you go to take it, you just do one chair at a time, and you rate it using one, two, or three. Three being you agree with the statement, one being you disagree, and two, you're not really sure about it. So you're kind of in the middle. Okay. So you go through each of the questions, and you just answer honestly. You know, if you think, like, I'm not sure about this, you know, put a two. If you are, three, and so on. And then if after you finish the first chair, so if you go through all seven of them, you tally up your score. And if you have in between a 0 and a 19, then it suggests that you stay in that chair. You stay and you kind of focus on it and say, what do I need to work on to grow? And if you get either 20 or 21, which is kind of small, but you get 20 or 21, you move on to the next one and you go through the process again. So I want to explain what each of these chairs are, because obviously we don't have literal chairs up here. So the first chair is called, it's the seeker. It's someone who is lost or is looking for Christ. Maybe someone who, maybe they've heard about him a few times, or maybe they haven't at all. And so they're still looking for those things. And this has statements like, religious acts like going to church or being baptized do not make me a Christian. And these are things that, to some of us, it's like, oh, well, that's simple. But to other people, and not as much, or it's harder to accept, but it's these things are crucial to what make Christians Christians. The second chair is the believer. Something Dan said that the chair two, it's close to chair one, but there's like a jump in between to get to chair three. And it's a jump that you can't make without God. Chair two has a statement like, I recognize Christ as Lord and put him first in every area in my life. And chair two is changing into who God wants you to be. You're still changing. You've gotten past the thing, okay, I know who he is. I believe in him. Now how am I going to change to be more like him? Chair three is the worker, where you are continually to grow in Christ. As an example of this would be, I pursue discipling relationships with other believers and pray for their growth in Christ. This is where you've changed for God, so now you want to grow in him. You want to get stronger. You're surrounding yourself with other believers, which is something, even if you're in chair one or two, you should be doing. But chair three, it's being able to strengthen each other and as you grow. The last chair is chair four, the disciple maker. This is where you are teaching others. With a statement like, I am regularly meeting with at least one other believer to show them how to follow Christ. Chair four is someone who is in a teaching position. So our pastors, our youth pastors, our elders, our deacons, people who they're not done learning yet, but they learn by teaching, and they're here to help us grow. Because when we all did our test, none of us high schoolers were in chair four yet. And so we're looking up to the people who are in chair three and four to teach us and show us how to grow in Christ. Chair one is looking, chair two is changing, chair three is growing, and chair four is teaching. This really stood out to me because, as I said, I'd always wondered, where did I stand in my relationship with Christ? I always believed in him, but I wanted to know, where do I stand and where do I need to grow? This helped me because when I took the test, I said, well, I know I'm probably not in chair one, but where am I? So when I took it, I landed in chair two, which is something that I... microphone keeps dropping. Okay. Which is something that, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of. And I'm glad I'm in chair two because I was able to kind of figure out where in chair two I am. I'm kind of in the higher spectrum. And so this way, I could look at my list and say, okay, I put two on some of these, so I need to work on this and figure out how can I get it up to a three in my own life. And I'm hoping that, and I highly suggest that if you do take this, date it and keep it, and then take it when you think you've grown. Because I'm hoping next time I'm able to take this test, I have grown into a chair three, and that, you know, I never stop growing. Thank you. Oh, and thank you for sending us all to Winter Youth. Yeah.
So I'm going to have the worship team come on up. There's always another microphone. Being conscious of the time, we're gonna play through that song we did at the end of the opening set there. But hopefully you caught the note of thankfulness and gratefulness from the youth for sending us and for paying for us and praying for us and building relationships. And I hope you'll think of this morning as one part of the church sharing with another part of the church and blessing you. And they really did desire to bless you guys with the experience that they had. And I hope that came through. So I want to invite you to come up and take communion as the body of believers as we play the song. And then I think after that, unless we got any other announcements or anything, after that, you're free to go.